The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by AIB. We see Brave and we're backing it through Brexit.
First up this morning, retail is facing some serious difficulties in the weeks, if not months ahead. This week, Tánaiste said it could be March before our shops are allowed to reopen. The well-known brand Mothercare was an early casualty of COVID. Last summer, their 14 shops in Ireland were put into liquidation. Ben Ward and his siblings, who inherited that franchise from their father, have set up a new business. And Ben's wife too, Anna Daly of Virgin Media's Ireland AM, has also set up a business during COVID. We caught up with them earlier and I first asked Ben about the closure of Mothercare, how it had been for his family, including his father, when they decided to close up the business.
Stressful, sad, surreal, I suppose, because whilst you might think, you often think about the end game and, you know, having to be in that position when it actually arrives, it's a horrible place to be in. You'll struggle with it emotionally and I know that we would have all had sleepless nights and probably tears as well. And I know that it would have been very difficult, particularly for my brother at the time, having to, you know, contact every member of staff in the company, either by phone or by email. And business is not just about yourself. It's partnerships with your staff, with third parties, the people who look after your tills, to the people who look after the air conditioning in store. And you feel like you kind of let everyone down in a way. And no, it's not a nice feeling. And you know that your staff as well have, you know, mortgages and families and responsibilities. And ultimately, we were paying their wages and we weren't able to do that anymore. So, you know, having to tell people that, you know, the business that used, often some of our staff had been with us for 20, 25 years. And the tears that go along with telling someone that, you know, this may not be something that can survive. I think you wouldn't be human or have blood running through your veins if you weren't, you know, very upset by having to go through something like that, I guess.
And the business had been in the family, as it were. Your dad originally bought the franchise from Mothercare in Ireland way back. Tell me a bit about that. What did he do before that? Was he always interested in business?
Yeah, my father was always involved in retail. I think from a very early age, he was steeped in it. He worked over in the UK for BHS all around the UK. We would have moved every couple of years when we were younger. And when he was working as the manager, heading up the BHS operation on O'Connell Street, as it was then, weren't sure whether they were going to stay in Ireland at the time. They had a Habitat as part of the Storehouse Group. They had a Mothercare at the top of Stephen's Green. And they obviously had the BHS store in O'Connell Street, which was a huge store. And I think at the time they were talking about moving out and he saw it as an opportunity to make an offer to them to take Mothercare off their hands, to take out the lease into his own name, to buy the stock off them and to take a chance and to make a run of it himself.
Now, he would have been taking quite a financial risk, as anybody is, when they leave a job or a career they've been in for a long time and say, I'm going to give this a go. How did he break the news to the rest of the family at that time?
Yeah, I think anyone who starts their own business or anyone who is an entrepreneur, I suppose, has to take, and there is an element of risk in starting your own business, particularly when you're leaving a good pensionable job like he was. And there was definitely a conversation at home. I don't recall exactly when, but he would have come home and sat us all down and said, you know, there's going to be some changes. I think he mentioned the fact that we'd have to remortgage the house and change the car and what have you. And
you're sitting there saying, what's a remortgage?
Exactly. Yeah, maybe it wasn't explained exactly like that, but it was definitely this, I'm going to be moving job and I'm going to be working for myself, essentially starting something new, and there's going to be some changes and, you know, we might have to tighten the belt. And I think my mother at the time would have been, you know, very supportive and said, look, if you think it's worth the gamble, then, you know, we're all behind you.
So did you help out then from a fairly early age with the
stores? Would have always, I suppose, my dad might beg to differ, but we would have helped out at times in terms of doing stock takes and counts around stock, and definitely remember spending summers in the back of containers unloading lorries and, you know, filling shelves and what have you. So yeah, we definitely would have been involved at that level anyway.
And then in terms of was it always on the cards then that you would go into the family business of Mothercare in Ireland, or did you want to do other things?
Not necessarily, I suppose. My brother and my sister were already in the business when I joined. My brother would have studied accounting, my sister would have studied marketing, and I would have studied politics initially and then left college thinking, what do I do with that? And ended up studying law laterally. When I was just about to qualify, we went off and got married. And I think we got married on the day that Lehman Brothers went bust, or the same week anyway. So the whole professional kind of services vista kind of changed completely over that 2 or 3 month period. So I'd always been interested in e-commerce and retail and the digital side of the business. So I guess one door was certainly a bit less obvious, and it was a great opportunity to get involved in the Mothercare business.
And what about you then, Anna? Obviously, you're very well known vis-a-vis TV3, Virgin, but you had gone into marketing. What did you want to do in the early part of your career?
In the early part, I finished college and, you know, marketing was where it was at for me. I started a job in Bank of Ireland, was my first marketing job. And I remember saying to my parents that I was going to go off to Australia for a year. Backpacking, you know, the obligatory year around Australia with my pals. And they probably thought I was bonkers at the time because, you know, I'd started a job in the bank, and why would you walk out of a, you know, good, solid, pensionable job like that? But listen, they were on board with travel as well and knew how wonderful that would be for someone of my age.
And was it a business family background? Were they interested in business or...?
I think the entrepreneurial thing for me comes from Ben's influence, because my family would have been very, you know, it would have been about a secure, pensionable job. And that's what I had in Bank of Ireland. And, you know, they would have come from a world of, you've landed a safe, secure job. Why would you walk out of it? And I get that, you know, different times for them growing up.
My mother wanted all of us to work in ESB.
Because it was safe.
For that reason.
Yeah. And Guinness's would be another example, I suppose, of, you know, my parents' time, you know, those places that were perceived as very safe jobs.
Now, Ben and the Mothercare business would have had such a difficult year in 2020. What was that like for both of you as a couple? Was it a very stressful time for you, seeing what was happening and how tough that was on him?
It was tough to watch it going on when you have no control whatsoever over that situation. So I'm mum at home to three boys, and, you know, Ben is going through a tough time. I think there was a real sadness involved. I don't think it was just a business going to the wall. I think it was the family heritage of it all. And I thought that was very hard to watch. But I've more admiration than ever for Ben after watching how him and his brother and sister dealt with the whole thing incredibly well, with real kind of sophistication, I would say.
You try your best to forecast things and always be on top of the numbers. And I guess with a situation like COVID and having to, you know, we can try and struggle through with an online business only. But I feel very sorry for, my heart goes out to anyone in retail at the moment because of the uncertainty. It's just so difficult to try and put a plan together when, you know, all of these things are outside of your hands and your control. And really the problem was going to be that we were closed, and we had no formal agreement with any of our landlords. And it's very hard to forecast a way out of a business when you have effectively a quarter's rent to pay and no way of knowing how you're going to pay it. I mean, the government's provided great support in terms of overall business support, in terms of looking after staff and wages, and the fund that's been used to get people through the, in terms of paying them on a weekly and monthly basis. But that huge, you know, element of debt that's still outstanding is something that hasn't really been addressed. And I can understand why the government don't want to touch it, because it's a, you know, it's a contractual arrangement, and, you know, I don't necessarily feel sorry for landlords, but they've got financial, you know, responsibilities as well. I mean, there's
depends on their circumstances.
Absolutely,
some are in a better position than others.
Some own their own properties and are able to be. I've heard on your show the George Street Arcade have been brilliant with their tenants, but not everyone can afford to be like that. And ultimately, when some of the institutional landlords look on their spreadsheet and they see a quarter of a year's rent that hasn't been paid, they probably have covenants to banks in the background as well. So it's going to be a real problem. How it crystallizes, I don't know. But we were looking at 3 months that we were closed for. We were looking at the rest of the year and the following year with no way of knowing how often or how long we were going to be closed or open for. And it just got to a stage where we couldn't, as directors, responsibly carry on, I guess.
Now, when it comes to the new businesses, Anna, littlebliss.com, mm-hmm. You're busy with the TV career. A lot of people very happy to do that and enjoy a bit of downtime, and three kids, young boys, and you decide you're going to set up a new company.
Yeah, I have to escape to something else, Richard. No, it's nice to have a different project. And
well, where did the idea come from?
The idea came because, and Ben will probably kill me for telling you this, but I leave Virgin Media and I get home and, you know, the TV glamour disintegrates fairly quickly, if I'm honest. You know, the hair goes up and the makeup goes off and the sweatshirt goes on. And Ben will often joke, going, you know, don't make any effort for me. Don't feel any pressure to make any effort for me. And clearly I don't, because...
The effort's for your audience, is that
exactly,
what you're saying?
Exactly.
Far more important.
priorities. No, but I do. I become mum and, you know, I'm comfortable like that and I'm doing the school run in sweatshirts. So I suppose if I was going to develop something that's true to my own style, I am quite casual by nature. So that's why I thought, well, you know, there's no point in developing this range of dressy dresses that, well, ultimately no one's wearing formal wear anyway at the moment. So even from a business point of view, it wouldn't make sense. So it's a casual collection of 12 pieces. They're very classic pieces. They're, you know, they're not necessarily for mums, they're for aunties, for boys, for girls. As the mother for boys of boys, I did find that there's this huge array of offerings for mums with little girls. But quite often there's nothing for mums and their boys. And I'm not looking to have a matchy-matchy family of any kind, but I do think it would be nice to consider the boys and the boy mums every so often. So my collection is not about boys or mums, it's about everyone.
So it's all online. Are you sending out all of the stuff, packing the stuff? How does all that work?
You may laugh, but you have to start somewhere, right? And yes, I'm doing it all myself. So I developed the brand, but I have all the products at home, and our attic, which is normally a playroom for the kids, has turned into an attic stroke warehouse for my products. And the orders started to come in on the 2nd of December when I launched it, and they haven't stopped coming in. So I now have this run to the post office every day. It's the depot in Greystones, actually. And they now give me a trolley when they see me pulling up outside. And there's absolutely nothing glamorous about this entire process because they give me this big kind of postman's trolley and I wheel it out to the car and I get all my packages in before 2 o'clock. So yes, to answer your question, at the moment I'm doing it all myself.
So the kids are going to become master wrappers. Are they? Or
kids already
are packers?
Yeah.
Are they?
Well,
unpaid.
They are unpaid. Well, they need to earn their keep at some point. They're not too bad at building the boxes because they obviously come flat packed. But apart from that, I'm a little bit of a control freak about how my products look as they get shipped outwards. So at the moment, I'm looking after that packing myself. But the bigger plan over the next few weeks will be that I will have a fulfillment company do that part, and I can do the parts that I'm probably better at and stronger at, which is building the brand.
Now, Ben, Kaleidi.com is a new venture. Tell me a bit about that. Where did the idea come from?
I suppose the idea came from we've a lot of experience in the nursery business and space in Ireland. And whilst we did toy with the idea of going out and trying to get a job, and that's not going to be too easy in the current environment and climate. So we put our heads together and thought, you know, we'd be good to give a go of a new online business at the
and
moment.
And you and your siblings who were in mother care together.
Yeah, myself, Johnny and Laura, and we've a small team along with us that are basically putting the whole online operation together.
When it comes to bouncing back after the setback of mother care going under, was that difficult for you? Were you confident about the success of Kaleidi? Was it easy to motivate yourself?
I suppose necessity is that I have a mortgage to pay. I don't have a huge amount of savings there. And we had to get back up on that horse, to use that cliche. Yes, it's very stressful. And yes, it's very worrying. I mean, Mothercare's strength was that it was so well known. When we did any focus groups, it was always top of mind for young or expecting families. So we don't have that. We don't have that crutch to rely on at the moment. And it's a big job starting a new business and a new brand to try and get that recognition out there. There's a lot of competition out there. So it's a real battle to get the traffic to the website, which is the name of the game. It's footfall when you have bricks and mortar, but it's generating traffic when you're online alone. So we tried to come up with a new proposition whereby, you know, next business day is our key kind of offering, I suppose, which a lot of our competition can't or don't do at the moment. And we've seen that as really successful, and the customers have really, you know, appreciated and seen that as a great service offering, I suppose.
And what about getting the product into the country? I'm thinking about all the the difficulties that are there around Brexit and supply chains.
I spent this morning adding codes to a load of product on orders that were due to go out to the UK. It's no longer an academic or theoretical exercise. There's, you know, all of our shipping companies, both inbound and outbound now, there's huge complications and delays. And even with the best will in the world and best planning, speaking to people involved in the logistics game, and they've just encountered so many problems that they didn't really envisage being problems.
Have you had any setbacks yet, or were you prepared and you expected that there was going to be, you know, additional things to be done, additional forms to be filled in or whatever?
Yeah, we have had setbacks, and there's extra coding required for B2C deliveries going from Ireland to the UK. We're trying to really push the fact that we are not just an Irish operation, but we've an Irish warehouse, an Irish team, and deliveries is we're hopefully Brexit proof, because I've seen already the problems going from Ireland into the UK, and having spoken to people, it's even more difficult if you're going from UK into Ireland at the moment. I've seen a lot of the big multiples now are trying to circumvent the UK, but it's easier said than done. I think a lot of people thought there would be a more workable solution, and they were hoping there would be a more workable solution, but it looks like although that was a deal, there's still a huge amount of problems and issues that have been kicked up because of that deal.
Well, I've spoken on this show before to married couples who are in business together. You're in business together, but it's two different businesses. So Ben, do you give advice to Anna, and then Anna, do you give advice to Ben?
It's one direction at the moment. I'll be perfectly honest. I'll make this easy for Ben. It is me asking Ben questions about 200 times a day, Richard, when it comes to e-commerce and retail, because it would be like him coming in to present an episode of Ireland AM. Do you know, it's so foreign to me to talk margins and VAT and logistics and all of that kind of stuff. So I have to ask the questions to understand the world of retail and e-commerce. And I drive him mad. And it's very handy for me to have him working from home, because he has me pestering him with lots of silly questions. And when it's your husband, it doesn't matter how silly the question is. You know, you don't feel too embarrassed about it.
No, and there's no cut-off time either, I'm afraid. Yeah.
No, there isn't.
Is it always on in terms of dinner table chat about the two businesses?
It's funny, yeah. Not so much in my family. We always kind of had a rule that we would try not to talk about things when we were out of the office, so to speak. But certainly that's been thrown out the window with the Little Bliss and the Kaleidi project of late, because our office is our home. And we're a new startup business. We actually don't have an office. We just WhatsApp each other and we're on a Zoom call in 5 minutes, which is great for some things. But it's also, you do miss the interaction and, I suppose, the element of creativity that you would have had around an office, just being able to bounce ideas around or just to sort a problem just by shouting across out the room. So we've transferred that to home, where we both quite often be sat in the kitchen on our laptops, you know, asking each other questions.
So Anna's getting advice from you. Do you get advice still from your dad? Is he involved in the new business?
Yeah, he asks us how things are going. I think he's quite happy not to be involved in the business to a certain extent. He's no longer, I think him and my brother would have been, myself and my sister less so, our moods dictated by how the numbers were going. We're trying not to be like that. He's obviously got a wealth of knowledge and understanding of retail, and the principles are still the same.
How have sales gone? I know it's still very early days for the business. Are you making a profit? Or when do you think you might make a profit?
I'm not in profit yet, but I'm very close to it. I'm really surprised to even say those words, to be honest with you, because, you know, I've had hundreds and hundreds of orders go out, and I know that because I've done them myself.
You know,
but it feels great, and it's very rewarding, and it's hard work. And when the fulfillment and the picking and the shipping and all of that function is taken care of, I'll be even more grateful of it, because I've actually done it myself, and I'll understand the value of that.
And what about Kaleidi? How's business been going?
Business has been good. Like I say, it's difficult trying.
You're making
to get
a profit yet?
Not quite. No, we might be a bit longer than Anna having our stock paid for, but hopefully in the next 18 months we'll be profit positive. The sales are certainly progressing, and the traffic volumes look to be building nicely. That's where we really want to be. We want to get the name and the brand out there, and we're just looking for a chance. So once people have a good experience with us, hopefully they'll come back.
Ben Ward and Anna Daly there.